fears of a U.S. banking crisis as a result of European debt problems.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The credit rating agency Fitch says U.S. banks could be hit hard by the turmoil in Europe. The warning came late yesterday and sent bank shares tumbling. For more, we're joined live by Marketplace's Amy Scott. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Amy, the U.S. has obviously had quite a bit of time to cut exposure to Europe. What is Fitch saying here?
Well, Fitch says U.S. banks have done a pretty good job of reducing that exposure, at least to the most troubled European countries like Greece and Ireland. But, you know, worries about default have recently spread to Italy, and analysts are concerned the problems could reach into bigger countries like France and Germany, where U.S. banks have a lot more exposure.
And as we've seen, this situation can sort of change by the day. You were back in New York covering the debt, the problems at our banks in 2008 in the financial crisis. And in that case, things spiraled out of control very quickly. Is that kind of situation possible here?
Right. Well, at this point, it seems unlikely. I spoke to Tim Loenig, an economic historian at the London School of Economics. He says it is possible, though. You know, if things do get a lot worse in Europe, credit could dry up here.
If American banks think that they're not going to get the money back that they've lent to German banks, they have to be a lot more careful lending to anyone else, including Main Street in the United States.
Now, right now, Loenig thinks that's a distant possibility, that, you know, worries about Germany have been overstated. It is the economic powerhouse of Europe. And banks have had a lot of time since that financial crisis 3 years ago to get their books in order to be prepared for this kind of shock.
Well, we'll see how well they did. Marketplace's Amy Scott, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Another online company goes public today. This time it's Angie's List, which lost $40 million last year. The company is a hub for consumer reviews for plumbers, lawyers, and the like. Marketplace's Steve Henn has more now from Silicon Valley.
Angie's List has been around the block. It's older than Google. It began before the first internet bubble inflated, way back in 1995. It's even shown up on game shows.
There's Craigslist and Her List, named for Ms. Hicks, who was frustrated when trying to find a good contractor. Tom,
what is Angie's List?
Yes.
At first blush, its business model seems kind of brilliant. Angie's List bundles up and sells consumer reviews. It doesn't pay the reviewers a dime, but today more than a million people subscribe to Angie's List for $30 to $60 a year. The company makes even more money by allowing well-reviewed businesses to advertise. So how is it that Angie's List is still in a hole?
They're spending a lot in marketing.
Nick Einhorn is with Renaissance Capital. He says the company spends around $80 on marketing to sign up a single new subscriber. Einhorn says the question for investors is whether all that spending will ever pay off. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Well, while we've got Jeopardy on our minds, what are the numbers? Well, stocks are down in Europe this morning, down about 1.5% right now in Paris. Also lower, according to the National Restaurant Association, the percentage of Americans who are going to dine out for Thanksgiving. It was 11% last year. It's expected to be just 6% this year. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow dropped 190 points to close at 11,905.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. And by Thomson Reuters and their expedition to break the Overland speed record to the South Pole. You can follow them in real time at expeditiontothesouthpole.com.
Well, we are just 6 days away from the Congressional Supercommittee's deadline to come up with $1.2 trillion in deficit reduction, and one big target for cuts is Medicare, the federal health insurance program for Americans 65 and older. But the latest report from the Census Bureau shows finances for those citizens are getting worse, in large part because of rising medical costs. The poverty rate for the elderly is now almost 16%. For more, let's bring in Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So why are the elderly paying more for medical care if they've got Medicare to deal with that?
Same reason you're paying more for medical care, Jeremy. I mean, you have an employer-sponsored health insurance plan. Lots of our listeners do. And yet those costs keep going up. It's rising Medicare premiums. It's higher deductibles. The expenses of prescription drugs. And for example, Medicare does cover a lot, but for certain services, yeah, there's a 20% copay. Hmm. And, you know, if you have a bigger bill, that 20% absorbs more of your income.
Well, is poverty among the elderly getting worse at a faster pace than it is for the rest of the population?
Well, this comes out of the new measure to try and get a better understanding of poverty and the dynamics of poverty in our economy. And what's striking about this new comprehensive measure that the government statisticians came up with is that the impact of medical care on the elderly, which, you know, makes sense because if you get older, you know, your body starts to do less well. You get sick more. Your eyes deteriorate. Your hearing deteriorates. So you spend a lot of money on medical bills. And that's why we saw a doubling, a near doubling of the poverty rate among the elderly, whereas among children, the poverty rate actually shrank because they use less medical services.
Well, why is this happening? This was a big triumph of the New Deal to reduce poverty among the elderly. Why are we moving in the wrong direction now?
Well, I think it really reflects the problems that are embedded in our healthcare system and rising medical inflation. And but I'm really worried taking a look longer term, because let's say you're going to retire in 5 years. You retire in 15 years. You look at current trends, and people haven't saved that much for their retirement. And the trend with the super committee and the atmosphere in Washington is that we have to reduce these benefits, so people are going to be told you have to spend more on your medical care. And my question is, with what money?
Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Thanks so much, Chris.
Thanks a lot.
And finally, to a report out today on which students hit the books the hardest in college. The National Survey of Student Engagement says engineering majors study the most, about 20 hours per week. Bottom of the list, business majors. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Here's an economic indicator, skyscrapers as symbols of financial health.
The biggest skyscrapers originally were built by corporations to show how wealthy and how powerful they were. But certainly in terms of China, there is that sense that we are going to build the tallest building because they want to show they can.
I'm Kai Rizdal, high and mighty, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.